that's what I was going to be doing this morning, share my testimony. I actually like to say his testimony in my life. Because Ephesians 3:20 say that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that we ask and think according to the power that lives in us. And I love the theme verse of this conference because that's my life verse. I love that verse. So I was so excited when I got the invitation to be here. But before that, can we pray first, okay? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for these precious girls in this room. Thank you that they're coming here to receive from you, Lord. And Father, I just want to pray that when I share the testimony in my life, your testimony in my life, that you would be glorified in everything that I say, Lord. I pray, Father God, that as you speak through me, Lord, that you be encouraging these sweet, precious girls in this room, that you, Lord Jesus, minister to their heart and show them one more time today, Lord, how you've been doing since this morning that we got here, that you are able and that you have great plan for them. So we thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. And I do want to say, Lord, if it's anyone here in this room, maybe it's a friend that you brought with you. Maybe you just dragged that friend to be here this morning. She not even want to be here. And that friend doesn't know you. Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. That today would be that day when she leaves this room saved by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you would touch her heart. That you would touch her mind. And you would save her. Lord, will you do that today? Will you do that miracle today? We give you all the glory and all the praises. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God has done great things in my life, and I give all the glory to him. We know that we were created to live for him, to worship him, to serve him. The truth is, ladies, that we were all dead spiritually before he came into our life and before we surrendered our heart to Jesus. Amen? We agree with that. In Ephesians 2:1-3 is telling us that you he made alive, who were dead in trespassing and sin, he will show you once walk according to the curse of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now work in the son of disobedience, among who also will once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. So that telling us that we were dead in our trespasses. But I love the following verses in Ephesians 2:4-5. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, will he love us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. And who is so thankful this morning by the grace of God, right? Amen. We are very thankful to the grace of God because by grace we have been saved. Well, and here begin my testimony before I came to Jesus, before I gave my life to Jesus. I am from Cuba, as you know already. You only have to hear my accent and know that I am not from America. However, I am America's citizen, okay? But I was born in Cuba. I was born in Cuba in a little town called Isabela de Sagua. In that little town, everybody knows everybody, okay? So at 6 months baby, when I was born, my mother took her life. She was very depressed, and also she had problems in her marriage. But not only that, my mom played with fire, and I'm gonna tell you why. She was into something called Santeria, which it is it's a combination of Roman Catholic and Voodoo. And she took her life when I was a 6 months baby, demonic. That religion is demonic. I haven't seen over the year many young girls and ladies and women, they're even Christians, to play with those kind of things too. Now it's something that is going on, it calls crystal. You know, I heard about crystal one time when I came here to California, and I went to a little store and I wanted to buy a little ring, and it was a crystal, and my husband said, let's get out of here. I want to tell you what you wanted to buy. So, but anyway, one thing we know, that Jesus is telling us in John 10:10, the thief do not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the good news is, I have come that you may have life, and they might have more abundantly. Amen? So Satan wants to destroy our life. As a Christian woman, we have no room in our life to play around with any kind of those stuff. My mom did it, and it cost her life. My mom burned herself to death. She actually put fire, gasoline, fire, and she burned herself to death. Now, at the age of 6 months baby, I was an orphan. But Jesus had a plan for me. So my grandparents raised me, and they become my mom and dad. So when I refer sometimes mom and dad, that was my grandparents. Now, my birth father abandoned me when I was 2 years old and came to United States. And I never saw him when I was growing up. So I didn't have a mom, I didn't have a dad. I have a beautiful grandparents that raised me. Before anything, because I'm going to share something about my grandmother, and I ask permission for that, I just want to say that I'm so thankful for my grandparents who took me and raised me. But the Lord always was looking after me. He gave me grandparents to watch over me, right? And that was part of his plan. God is faithful, ladies, and he has a plan for us. The word of God says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, say the Lord, toward peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Amen? Also, God is telling us in Psalm 139:13-14, one of my favorite verses, for you formed my inward part. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your work, and then my soul know very well. Now that I know those verses because I'm a believer, I can understand them. I can understand that God had a purpose for my life. But ladies, before, I did not understand those verses. So God has to save me first. If someone would have shared with me those verses, I would have said, you have no idea the pain that I had to endure when I was growing up as a little girl. But God is able. Right, ladies? He created us like Mark 16:15 say that when we give our life to him, that we can go and share the gospel with everyone. So my grandmother was very affected by the death of her daughter. She kind of was very depressed, very bitter, and she literally mentally abused me when I was growing up because she was so hurt, and all that hurt, she needed somebody to, you know, throw all of that, and that was me. She never gave me any encouraging words. She was so mean and hurtful, always putting me down. Like, you never be like your mother. You need to be just like your mother. So things like that. Thank God I didn't, right? You know, God had another plan for me. I was so desperate when I was growing up for that love from a mother to a child. That love that now I can give to my daughter. For all the mamas here, I know we're going to celebrate Mother's Day next weekend. I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to listen to your children. Love on them. Hug them. Spend time with them. Raising them in the world. Because those little kids are watching you. They're watching you. Disciple them in the Lord. But always letting them know that also that you love them. Even when you discipline them, let them know that you love them. When it, I think about right now that I'm sharing this, when it comes to my mind, I don't have it in my notes, it just came to my mind, had to be through the Holy Spirit, Timothy, how he was raised by his mother, his grandmother, and look what the Lord did in his life. So you never know if you are raising a Timothy or a Daniel in your life, right? So pouring into those children, raising them again in the Word of God, and not only tell them about Jesus, live it out in front of them, that they can see you not, that your words line up with your actions, right? Invest in your children. They grow up so fast, so fast. So I grew up in a very worldly home. Jesus was not in our home. My parents, grandparents, say that they believe in Jesus, but I never saw that. The truth is, like I say, they're practicing Santeria. And like I say, Santeria is a combination of Roman Catholic and Black Voodoo messed up together, very demonic. So they attended to the Catholic Church, but in the truth, they never talked to me about Jesus. They didn't know about the Word of God. At 14 years old, I was already having sexual relationship with my boyfriend. At 15 years old, I became pregnant with my older son. Now, my grandmother, that was very bitter and very hurt, found out that I was pregnant and took me twice to abort my child. She was so ashamed of me, and she was embarrassed that I did that to her. And I didn't know the Lord. I was in sin. And then when she took me twice, the doctor said to her, if you bring her the third time, she might not make it because this baby is growing so fast and it would be very dangerous. And her word was like, I take the risk. But because God, he is able and had a plan for my life, my grandfather become the leader of the home and say, she's not going anywhere. We're going to have that baby, and she's going to have that baby, and we're going to help her to raise that baby. The Lord is so good, and he gave me the desires of my heart because I wanted to have my baby. So it came to the time that my son was born, and 6 months later, my boyfriend, which it was his dad, decided to bring me to America. So I left my child in Cuba, and I came to America with his father. Now, ladies, in our way to Florida, our boat caught in the storm, and the boat capsized. I was stranded for 4 days without food in the water in a little piece of rock that was in the middle of the ocean. Tell me if my God is not able and is not good. A piece of rock. He is my rock. He is your rock, right? So by the grace of God, because he is able and because he had a plan for my life, we've been rescued. We were rescued by the Coast Guard. 4 days later, no food, no water, and it was really, really bad. God is so good, and he had a purpose for my life. Even when I did not follow him, even when I did not know him, he still was watching over me. Do you remember before Jesus how we used to live for ourselves, to please ourselves? We didn't have time for God. We didn't have time for Jesus. And because his love, his mercy, his grace, he was always watching over us. If we're going to have what we deserve, we will not be here today, right? But the grace of God. So I arrived to Miami at 15 years old without no family, just without boyfriend. And then my life got worse. My life got worse. Yes, now I am in the United States of America on the land opportunity. But when I went to sleep every night, I had to deal with depression, pain, discouragement, guilty, ashamed not having my son with me because he stayed back in Cuba with my grandparents. But more than anything, ladies, there was that emptiness in my heart, in my soul, or not knowing Jesus. I am so thankful for 1 Timothy 2:4. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I am very also thankful for 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but we all should come to repentance. I know that you have family members. I know you have people that you've been praying for many years. Keep praying because God wants to save them. Keep praying. Keep praying. Never give up praying for the lost. If you're here today and you say, Yanni, I am experiencing the same pain, that emptiness that you felt before you found Jesus, maybe you are like me. You grow up knowing about religion, but you never had a relationship with Jesus. Well, my friend, you can know him today. You can know him today. You can make that decision or surrender your life and your heart to Jesus today. Don't go home the same way that you came to this room. It's not a mistake that you're here today in this room. God brought you here, and he wants to work in your heart. All you have to do is surrender to him. All you have to do is say, yes, Lord, I want you in my life. I want you in my heart. And he would do that. He would do that. I give thanks to the Lord for his love, for his patience with me before I give my life to him. So I live in Miami for 8 years. I was partying, drinking, lost, totally lost. And then I moved to Houston because I didn't make it in Miami. I was from one house to another house. I had to get away from my son, dad, because he was very angry and he was very abusive. And I was only 16 years old, 17 years old, something like that. So I had to get away from him. And I get away from him and try to move to Houston because I was looking always for that love that I couldn't, that could fill my heart and my empty soul. I looked in relationship, it didn't work. So I started looking that love in a father who abandoned me when I was 2 years old. So I drove to Houston and I found him. Now my dad, he came to America in the 80s. And he had a very hard life because the decision that he made, he did a lot of drugs, alcohol. He was many times in prison. However, I didn't know any of those things when I was looking for him. Now, I thought that by finding him, I would solve all my problems because I was looking for that love since I was a little girl. But I was wrong, lady, because when I found him, he abused me, sexually abused me more than once. At that time, I was in my 20s. Actually, I was 20 years old. I was in Houston. I didn't have anybody, only him. And so I didn't know what to do. It was hard. It was very hard. But I was able to escape from him. I was able to move out without him knowing. And when I move out, I move in another apartment, and it was people in my life that would help me a little bit. You know, God always put those people in your life, right? He's so faithful. But I was very hurt, and I began to asking God, why are these things are happening to me? I was not perfect, but I was not a bad person. I helped my family in Cuba. Since I came to America, I worked 2 or 3 jobs helping my family because that's what we do when we come over here, right? So, and I had my child back in Cuba. So I was doing everything possible also to bring my son to United States. I always tried to honor my grandparents the best I could. But the truth is, my friend, that being a good person does not lead us to heaven or save us, right? It's only through Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus, when we give our life to him, when we surrender our heart to him. Jesus saying in John 14, sings, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen? So I never saw my father again, but after what he did to me, I had a lot of fear, panic attack. I was living without hope. Also, I was very angry. I was mad for everything that happened to me to that point. I had bitterness and a lot of unforgiveness in my heart. So I moved with my auntie. It was the only family that I have here in Houston. And when I moved with her, I did not know that she was mentally ill. So I didn't know nothing about that. And with my attitude, her being mentally ill, we was clashy all the time. We didn't get along at all. So one morning, the night before, she decided to give me a little pill that I can just go to sleep and don't wake up, you know? You know, those kind of pills that you sleep for days. And I took it. And what I found out, that she woke me up in the middle of the morning. I could not even wake up. Well, she was trying to wake me up with a piece of rock hitting me in my head. But God, he is able. I called my friend when I was able to escape from my auntie and my only friend that I had at that time, and she took me to the hospital. That friend is a Jehovah's Witness. She was not practicing her religion, thank you, God. She was a little bit upset about her religion, thank you, God. So I was so happy about that. Now I'm super happy about that. So she took me to the hospital, and I heard the doctor for the first time in my life say something like this: she is a miracle. You know, many doctors don't say those things, right? But that doctor said that. So my friend, she had mercy on me, and she was like, girl, everything happened to you. So I need to take you to church. Not a Jehovah's Witness one, by the way. So she took me to church the following week. And when I arrived to that church, ladies, and I heard the worship was what was start softening my heart. I see people raising their hands to Jesus, praising Jesus, and something started changing in me. At that night, my heart was start getting soft to receive the word. And that was exactly what happened. I was asking the Lord for a while that these questions, nothing working for me, Lord. Nothing working for me, God. I didn't call it Lord that time. I called him God because I knew there was a God, but I didn't follow that God. So my heart was getting soft. I was more open, what I'm trying to say, to learning about Jesus when someone shared about him. That was the perfect time at the perfect moment, the perfect place where God led me. So he was working in my heart. Nothing worked before. No matter how much I try, no matter how good I want to do, that emptiness in my soul was there. Nothing can fill the good shape boys in men's life but God himself, right? So the teaching that day was in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that I give his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then in John 3:17 say, but God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So I asked this question to myself when I was listening to the word of God. The word of God is powerful. Is that God loves me? Does God love me so much that he even give his own for me? For me? Does God love me that much? What kind of love is that? I never experienced that kind of love. But yes, he loves me and he loves you. That message did it for me. That night, that Saturday night at that church, I gave my life to Jesus. I gave my heart to Christ, all of my heart. When the pastor did the altar call, my Jehovah's Witness friend was sitting. Nothing moved her, and I tried to move her. Come with me. She was like a rock right there. And then I just like, you're not going? I am going because I need Jesus. So I just left her in here, and she said, no, don't go there. You don't have to go. Oh, yes, I am. So I ran to the altar. I think I was the first one in that altar. And I fell in the floor and my knees, and I said, God, if you're real, I need you to show yourself to me right now because I want you. I need you. In Revelation 3:20 say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. If you here today, and I know Tiffany gave the first invitation and the first part of this conference, but if you're still here and you didn't raise your hands, God is knocking at your door today. He's knocking at the door of your heart, and he say, open your heart to me. I want to come in. I want to come in because he is the only one can give you that peace, that joy, that strength that you might hear looking for, and you came to the right place. You are not mistaken that you're here today. So open your heart to Jesus. That's the best decision that you can make in your life. You will never regret it. I tell you that. And we have many testimonies here, what God has done in our life. Jesus saying in John 14:26, peace I leave with you. You need peace? You only can find it in Jesus. My peace I give to you. Not of the world gift do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I didn't have peace before Jesus, but he came to my life. And after I make peace with God, now I can enjoy the peace of God. Right, ladies? And this is when I start my new life in Christ. The Word of God say that we were spiritual dead. How I read that in the beginning of this message, but now we are alive. God given us a new life in Christ, eternal life. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 say, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So now, I'm a new creation in Christ, 24 years old. I'm not 24 years now. I was 24 years old when I gave my life to Jesus. And the first thing, ladies, that I asked the Lord was to clean my heart. The first thing I asked Jesus is to help me to forgive my father. I was not fearful anymore. By the way, when I surrendered my life to God, that was the first night that I was able to sleep in peace. It was years that I didn't be able to sleep in peace. But I slept like a baby that day. So peaceful. Now at this point, I surrendered my heart to the Lord. I was not fearful anymore, but I didn't want to live with this bitter heart, that angry heart anymore. I need to forget my father. And so God brought me to Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Because that's a prayer that he will answer to you. And he will lead you to the word. And he will show you like he showed me in Matthew 6, 14 and 16 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you trespasses. Right? Also in Mark 11, 26 say, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. God has forgiven me for so much. And who I am to hold unforgiveness to tell anyone, right? With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can forgive others. We cannot do it alone, ladies. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. But we need to forgive. Maybe you're here today and you come in with an unforgiving heart and you need to surrender that to Jesus today. Maybe someone hurt you. The first thing that God wants to do is for you to make that commitment to forgive the person that hurt you. And he will take care of the rest. It's not easy. I've been there, ladies. I've been hurt before Christ and after I surrendered my life to Jesus. We all can say that we've been hurt, some more than others. But my friend, just know that God can bring beauty from ashes. God can change the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. God can restore anything that is in your heart. And he wants to heal the heart today. He wants to do a work in your heart today. I believe that. He is the God of restoration, ladies, right? But we do need to do our part. We need to forgive. We need to give that heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to live with this anymore. I want to surrender my heart to you today. All the hurt, all the pain, all the bitterness, because that pleased the Lord. That pleased the Lord, and we need to be pleasing Jesus, and we need to obey. God always bless the heart that obey him, right? He is always do that. If you are struggling today in that area, in the end of the message, I'm going to have ladies, we're going to have ladies are going to be here in the front, and this is between you and God, but we're here to pray with you, and we're here to pray for you. Psalm 34, 18 say, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. If your heart is broken today, this is what he say. And he saved, so shall have a contrite spirit. The Lord is near to you. He knows the pain. He knows the hurt. Maybe you're here today and you'll be hurt by someone in the church. That person is coming this way and you go that way, right? Because you don't even want to see that person. God doesn't want us to be that way. He wants us to have unity. Because this is the thing, my sweet friend. When you hold on forgiveness, you're the one that is in a prison. The other person is not in a prison. You are. And God wants to set you free today. He don't want you to be in that prison anymore. Maybe it's your marriage, right? You're having a hard time forgiving your husband. Only you and God know what's going on in your home. But God says you need to forgive him. You need to forgive him. Whatever it is, Maybe it's your prodigal children. You know, prodigal kids can really hurt our heart, right? Because the decisions that they make, our heart, if we don't careful, can become hard. And God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to keep praying for them and waiting like the father of the prodigal son, that he wait for that child until he come back home. But we need to wait with a soft and clean heart, heart of love for them. Choose forgiveness. God is able. He is able to do it. And I run through one little the book that Corrie Ten Boom wrote, and I brought something that I got from her, and I'm gonna read it to you. It says, forgiveness, forgiving someone doesn't always mean you will get a storybook ending, but it will bring peace and honor to a situation that will otherwise leave us bitter, defensive, and hurting. We please Jesus and honor him when we choose to forgive. Forgiveness releases the offense into the hands of God, and we can heal. Trust me when I say I know how hard it is, my sister, but I also know how healing it is too. Leave all your hurt and honest feeling to the Lord through prayer, whatever it's writing and verbal. Let us there before come boldly to the throne of grace that we can may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Hebrews 4:16. Then Corrie Ten Boom say, you never so touch the ocean of God love as when you forgive. You never so touch the ocean of God love as when you forgive. Those are a good word. And she experienced that when she was in a jail, seeing her sister being die in front of her, and she has to forgive those people that were responsible for that. So she's forgiven today. David say in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. The word of God for all of us. God bless and honor the heart that obey his word, right? Jesus say in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, moving on, the Lord also put a fire in my heart when I got saved to go back to my little town in Cuba and share the gospel with those sweet people in my little town. In Mark 16:15 say, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I began to pray for my grandmother for 11 years. My grandfather, before he died, he gave his life to Jesus. And then my grandmother, after 11 years, got saved. I was able to lay her to the Lord, and God healed our relationship. Now we are very close because God is the God of restoration. He is able. So don't stop praying for your loved one. God has a plan, God is faithful, and God is able. My grandmother, at the age of 80 years old, ladies, began a Bible study in her house. Amen. You know what she remind me? She remind me in John 4:28 to 29. Excuse me. The woman, they left the water pot and went her way to the city and say to the man, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? That was my grandmother. My grandmother, when I laid her to the Lord, the first thing that she did, she said, come with me. I'm gonna put all the Santeria, all the sand, all the black voodoo, I'm gonna do all of that, put it in a little, you know, plastic bag, and we're gonna go to the town and we're gonna burn everything. And I'm gonna tell everybody that I follow the only living God. The God that Daniel followed, the God that we follow, right? And that's what she did. So I had a lot of peace because I was like, is this is real, God? She got saved? If this is real? And when she did that, I go like, hallelujah, she got saved. The Lord is so good. So she started the Bible study, and she knew that she cannot teach in the Bible study because there were men and were women. And then she asked for a pastor to come and be part of that Bible study in my little town. So with that said, that began the work in God in Cuba was one of the first Calvary Chapel that we have over there in Cuba. Now we have 37 Calvary Chapel in Cuba for the glory of God. So when I got saved also, I asked the Lord to lead me to a church that teach the word like your church here, verse by verse. Your pastor is one of my favorite teachers of the word of God. Well, my pastor is my favorite teacher of the word of God. So the Lord opened the door and sent me to Calvary Houston when I've been there for like 26 years. Also, when I got saved, the Lord allow me to bring my child from Cuba. The Lord restored so many things in my life, and that's one of the things that he restored. I was able to become an American citizen, learn 300 questions for the test, which I didn't know that much English. It was worse than I is now. So, but the Lord is so faithful. He is able, right? So he allowed me to bring my child from Cuba. Now he's married. He has 3 children, 2 waiting for the other one is coming, and we have a great relationship. God brought me to Calvary, like I was saying, 22 years ago. And 9 years ago, I married Ron, the senior pastor of the church. Only God can do something like that, I can tell you. Let me tell you a little bit about that. God had a plan. God had a plan, like he had it for me, like he continued having a plan for me. He has a plan for you, my sweet sister. When we married, we adopted 2 children. Remember that I was adopted by my grandparents? Well, I was able now to adopt 2 children, you know, 9 years ago. And Trey and Samantha, one is 14, and my boy is 15. So, got married. Adopted 2 children. My life had taken a course completely different from what I thought I was going to be. And God has done exceedingly abundantly more than I ask and think. Like I say, we've been married for 9 years. Ron and I serve in the ministry together, living for Jesus. Now, God has given Ron, my husband, a passion and a heart for my people in Cuba, even before that we got married. You know what brought us together? We got together and started talking about mission. And ladies, let me tell you something. Ron went to Cuba, and he was in my grandmother's house even before we even got married. Is that God good? It's amazing. So he was telling me all about that. I went to Cuba, I went to check some of the Calvary. I know that your grandmother started church, and now this pastor want to be a Calvary pastor. So I say to him, yes, let's do that. That church is Calvary. And I go like, oh my goodness. Then he say, I was looking around and I saw a picture of you everywhere. Little he know that he's going to be marrying me pretty soon. So, and he did. Because God is able and had a plan. My sweet friend, God is so good. He can do more than we ask and think. He is powerful. We just need to trust him with our life, right? If you're here today and you're single, because I prayed for 5 years for Ron. I didn't know it was Ron. Believe me, when my pastor approached me and, you know, the Lord brought us together, I was like, oh no, I didn't pray for this. But my God is able to give exceedingly abundantly. So I was so blessed. But if you're single today and you're here today and you say, Yanni, I want kind of your story. I mean, maybe you don't want to marry a pastor. I didn't want to marry a pastor either. But now I'm so blessed that that's what God has for me. But anyway, if you're here today and you've been praying and say, I want to get married. I want God to bring that special person in my life. Proverbs 3:5-6 say, trust the Lord with all of your heart and lean not in your understanding. In all your way, acknowledge him and he should direct your path, right? And I have another verse for you. And these are some of the verses that I used to pray when I was single and writing in my journal every day about, you know, the desires of my heart. Psalms 37:4-5 say, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, my friend, your desire need to line up with his desire. Because some people read this verse and he think, oh, the Lord is going to give me all the desires of my heart. No, that's not true. Sometimes it's desires in our heart that we are thankful that he's not giving it to us, right? Because it's not good for us. But if your desire line up with his word and the plan that he has for you, you can count on that. He will give you the desires of your heart. He did it for me. He can do it for you, right? I am so thankful for what God has done in my life. And just because we're here and we live for him, ladies, doesn't mean that we're not going to go through trial. We're not going to go through pain. Because in John 16:33 say, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be a good cheer, I overcome the world. I had trial before I found Jesus, and I had trial after I found Jesus. And this side of the cross, we will have trials. But the difference is, that when I had trials before Jesus, I was miserable. I didn't have any peace. I didn't have any hope. But my trials, after I surrendered my life to Jesus, I had the hope of Jesus in my life. I had the hope of heaven, right? I had the hope of God that he is with me. And he is for me. So we're not alone. We're not alone. We got trials, but we're not alone. He is for you. And ladies, I just can tell you, God is still building my testimony, my story. The story that he's writing in my life is not over yet. Last year, May 18, 2023, I can never forget that day, we first received a news in the morning then my husband's father passed away and went to be with the Lord. But not too long after that, a few hours later, we received another news. And that news was that my husband was diagnosed with cancer. That was hard. I can tell you that's one of the most painful trials that I had to endure in my life because my husband is my best friend, the love of my life after Jesus. Amen. But the Lord given us the strength that we need to go through it. When we heard the news, which I felt like someone deep punched me in my stomach. Did you ever been there when you receive a news that you're not expecting? I'll be honest with you. I was not expecting that. But our attitude never can be, why, Lord? It should be, why not us, Lord? We have a church, the church that I serve in Houston because it's Jesus' church. We had so many brothers and sisters going to a trial, and why not us, right? But at that moment, the only thing that came to my mind was like crying first, and then Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. So Ron and I, we left the church and we went to our patio in our home. We needed to be away from everything. And you know what we did, ladies? We praise Jesus. We sing the song, he is well with our soul. And the Lord has done miracle. The Lord is so awesome. For the glory of God, my husband's cancer is undetected right now. And all the glory to Jesus. But I tell you one thing, my sweet sister. I remember receiving the news. And I remember asking God, what good can come out from all of this? Did you ever ask that question? When you in the fire, when you in the pen, and the Lord said very clear, I'm giving you another ministry. Ron, you're going to have another ministry. Yanni, you're going to have another ministry. And let me tell you, my husband back in January went to the hospital to have a bone marrow transplant. And we were 17 days in that hospital. And he not only given us the ministry to bring the love of Jesus to doctors and nurses. We shared the gospel with everybody in that union. Because he's given us another ministry for us to go and share Jesus. I also can tell you, my God is able. You know what I saw in front of my face? I saw God providing miracles. Because my husband going through the bone marrow transplant, they bring his immune system to zero. My husband was minus zero white blood cells. I never heard that before, minus zero. He had no blood cell. They give you a chemo that eradicate your blood cell, and also white blood cell, and also his platelets was 11 platelets. Only 11 platelets. So You can get an infection through anything. So he got two infections in the blood, and he got a situation with a heart when his heart was 180 when he was sleeping. And three times I saw Jesus. Three times I saw the Lord rescue my husband and healing my husband. And I tell you one thing, the Lord gave me the gift of faith because I need it. He probably go, that girl gonna need the gift of faith. I cannot even brag about that. He did it. He given me the gift of faith, and he has grown my faith, because in the hospital, when those things were happening, I just opened the word of God. Front of the doctor, they were doing their thing, I was doing my thing. And I went to Psalm 91, and I started reading Psalm 91 to my husband, and I saw the Lord, to him be the glory, touching my husband and healed my husband. Even the doctor were like in shock, because they were like, we don't understand this. I go, I do. Jesus did it. Let me tell you about my Jesus, doctor. Let me tell you about my Jesus. They're trapped over there in the room with me, so they cannot go anywhere. So God has done miracles, and to him be the glory. And like Tiffany was saying in her message, that doesn't happen all the time. You know, his will needs to be done in our life. Sometimes God chooses to heal, sometimes he doesn't. But I tell you one thing, all things work together for our good and for his glory, right? So God had a plan in this season of cancer. My son Trey, before daddy was diagnosed with cancer, he was going to the Christian school. Now I homeschool him. But anyway, he was going to a whole different direction, following some of the kids that were not a good influence to him. And let me tell you, my son Trey, he is not what he needs to be, but he is not what he used to be. Through the cancer, through seeing his father hurting, God has done a work in his life and a work in his heart. And I can see the purpose. I can see the plan. And I will change him for anything, because my God knows everything. My God has a plan. My God is able. Maybe you're here today and you're going through some of those things. You're going through some of those sickness, or maybe it's someone in your family that's going through all of that. Just cry out to Jesus. He will give you the strength. He will give you the peace to go through it. Because that's what I ask the Lord. So I learned how to change the way I pray. I do pray for healing, of course. I do pray for miracle. But I also pray for peace and strength. I say, Lord, if that's what you have for me, I just want to ask you to give me your peace. Give me your strength. And Lord, use me. I want to shine for you in this trial. I want to bring glory to your name through this trial. Right, ladies? And Luke 1:37 say that nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. If he says someone like me, I was so stubborn, I was so blind, I was so lost, he can save anyone, ladies. And I know you feel the same way. God is the God of miracle. If you're here today and you are a believer, but you are, again, dealing with some illness, we also gonna have the ladies over here in the front after I finish this message to pray for you. We wanna pray for you, sweet ladies. We don't want you to leave with that burden in your heart. God is here in this room. He is working in this room. He is ministering to all of us in his room. He is the God who healed. And he said, come to me, come to me. So we wanna pray for you today, right? If you're here today and you say, Yanni, I am so lonely. I've been through some of those things that you were when you were little. Or I've been through that. The same thing that your dad did to you. I had that secret in my heart. I never shared with anybody. Lady, believe me, I've been in many places sharing my testimony. And as ladies are being through the same thing. And they don't want to speak up because they feel shame. They feel like no one can understand them. But I tell you one thing, God does. God knows what you went through. God loves you. And the same way that I can stand here today and share about it is because he healed me. He healed my heart from all of that. And he wants to heal your heart too. So if you went through the same thing, I want to pray for you today. please come. I want to pray for you. That's what I'm here for, to tell you that Jesus sees you and he loves you and he has a plan. He want to use you, that you can share with others that he's a God that restores, that he's a God that heals, right? That he can bring beauty from ashes. But I want to close with this verse that is very dear to my heart, and it's in Romans 8, 37 to 39. And maybe this is a word for someone here in this room. Maybe this is the only thing that you got from my message to you. That's okay, because it's a powerful word of God. It says, yes, and all these things, we are more than a conqueror through him who loves us. For I persuade that neither death nor life, no angels, no principales, no power, nothing present, no things to come, no high, no depth, no any other created things should be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right, ladies? He loves us, and he has a plan for our life, and he is able, right, to do exceedingly abundantly beyond that we ask and think, because he is Jesus, our Savior, right? So I want to close before I pray with this part of the song that is always ministered to me, the lyric of this song always ministered to me, and it's Broken Vessel. It's a amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now. Oh, I can see the love in your eyes, letting yourself down, raising up the broken to life. Let's pray.